with our whole heart, with no distractions, truly seeking after what God has made for us. So if you all just stand with me, we'll enter into worship. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Lord. We thank you that you take all of our distractions, you take all of our needs, you take all of our worries, Lord, and we can put them under your blood. So Lord, we offer those to you this morning. Right now, we put them at your cross, Lord God. And Lord, we choose to seek you, God. We choose to seek your kingdom and your righteousness, Lord God. So Lord, we offer our worship to you, Lord. And Lord, we come to you as children, Father God, just so happy to be in your presence, Lord. So happy to hear what you have for us today. And Lord, we just thank you so much. And we thank you and pray this in Jesus' name.
And all who are thirsty, and all who are weak, and come to the fountain, dip your heart in the streams of life, the pain and the sorrow, and be washed away, the streams of his mercy. Deep cries out to deep, we sing, come Lord Jesus, come.
Come on church, let's sing this out to the Lord this morning.
Come Lord Jesus, come. Come Lord. Dip your heart in the streams of life, the pain and the sorrow. Be washed away in the streams of his mercy. Yes, Lord, his deep cries out.
Let's just lift up a shout of praise. Let's just lift up our voices to the Lord this morning. God, we thank you for your presence in this place, Jesus. We worship you, Father God. Lord, you are glorious. You are mighty, God. You are powerful. And Lord, we just call down your presence, Father God. We thank you, Jesus, that you're going to do mighty works in this place this morning. We worship you, Jesus. Come on, church. Let's put our hands together.
Oh, you are faithful, God. You are faithful, God.
I have heard a sound coming on the wind, and changing hearts and minds, and healing brokenness. I feel a generation breaking through despair. I hear a generation full of faith declare, and our song it will be, and out of the darkness we will rise and sing. He is faithful, and He is glorious, and He is Jesus, and all my hope. Resurrection life, we are a generation filled with the power of Christ, and our song you will be, and out of the darkness we will rise and sing. Our love for Him. Come on, let's sing this out with all of our hearts this morning. Come on.
He has paid the highest price. Oh, yes, He has.
And He has proven His great love for us. And we will praise Him with our lives. Proclaim our love for Him. For He is faithful, and He is glorious, and He is Jesus, and all my hope is in Him. He is freedom, and He is healing right now. He is hope and joy and love and peace and life. He is faithful, and He is glorious. worthy. Come on, let's just sing, worthy is the Lord.
Worthy, worthy is the Lord.
Seated on the throne.
Seated on the throne. He is worthy. He is worthy.
God, we sing our praise to you this morning.
Worthy, worthy is the Lord. Seated on the throne. Worthy is the Lord.
Come on, last time, let's just sing it with all of our hearts.
Worthy, worthy is the Lord. Seated on the throne, worthy is the Lord. You are God, worthy. Worthy is the Lord. Seated on the throne, worthy is the Lord.
Church, let's sing that again to him right now.
Holy, holy is the Lord, seated on the throne. You are holy is the Lord. We sing mighty, mighty is the Lord. Seated on the throne, we sing, mighty is the Lord.
God, you hold all strength, Jesus.
You are mighty, mighty is the Lord. Seated on the throne, you are mighty, oh, mighty is the Lord. Join all of heaven, see. We lift you up, we lift you up, Lord. We lift your name higher. Oh, we lift you higher, God. We join with the angels, we join with the angels and sing.
Sharing with y'all, worshiping God, and something just came to me. I had to look up Zechariah 14:6, and it said, "It shall come to pass in that day that there will be no light. The lights will diminish. It shall be one day which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night. But at evening time it shall happen that it will be light. And in that day shall flow the living waters that shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea, half of them toward the western sea." both summer and winter shall occur, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And then I kept reading, and it said, the people shall dwell in it, that no longer shall there be utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And then it said, and this shall be the plague which the Lord will strike all the people who fought against Jerusalem. I feel that, to me, it was all the people who fought against us in our lives when we were trying to be good people, good Christian people, showing love and compassion towards others, when we would just get ridicule and disgraceful gestures from them. And I just feel that that really pertains to all of us, because I know we have all experienced it. And it says, their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet. Their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongues shall dissolve in their mouths. And it's a very graphic illustration, but I think it shows that God always wins. And as long as we're walking with Him and in His light, that nothing can truly happen to us. But if we go through this test and we pass it, it's up to us to do the right thing. But if we keep doing the right thing, then we'll be rewarded in the end. That's just what I got from this.
Thank you, brother.
Starts to tremble at the light that you bring. When you walk into the room, every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you.
Stop, can't live without you.
man consume, God. All we are, we give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Come and consume. Come and consume, God. All we are, we give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Come and consume. Come and consume, God. All we are, we give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you.
Sing this softly to the Lord. This come and consume us, all that we are. And as we sing this, let's just truly just call upon God, and let's just make that our prayer before the Lord. God, consume our hearts. God, consume our minds. Consume our entire being, Father God. Jesus, we want to experience you, God, in all of your fullness this morning. God, we want to experience you in all of your fullness, all of your grace, all of your mercy, God. Let it encamp around us, God. Lord, let it encamp around every situation this morning. God, consume every situation, Father. Lord, let it be consumed, God, with your love, God, with your peace, God, with your joy, Father. Lord, consume every situation, Father God. God, when you do come into the room, Father God, everything does change, God. The situation has to change, God. God, life has to come, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We thank you for that. Let's just sing this to the Lord. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you, yes. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yesterday was... 3 weeks now that Brenda Rogers has been in the hospital. And although we have seen miracle after miracle, we're still believing for a miracle, if that makes sense. Doctors at many times have not given her any hope, but, you know, our hope is not in what doctors report. Our hope is in Jesus Christ and his finished work of the cross. But this song is kind of a prophetic song that Eric was up just for just one day, and he went there and he sang this over her. He really felt that it was for Brenda. And when it says, when you walk into the room, sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation ceases to exist. That's what we're going to believe right now. I just want you to just, we're just going to do an act of faith, because it's by faith that we move mountains. It's by faith that we cause those hopeless situations to cease to exist, because our faith is in Jesus Christ, nothing less than Jesus Christ and what he's accomplished already, the finished work. So the hospital is over in that direction, so just stretch forth your hand. Right now, by faith, God, we just thank you, Lord, that that you are turning the situation around. Lord, because you are the one that has authored her faith, and you are the finisher of her faith, God, and she is in your precious hands. And God, we thank you that nothing is too difficult, no matter what man says, no matter what the report looks like with natural eyes. Lord, you have resurrection power in all you do. So we speak life right now to Pastor Brenda right now. We speak resurrection power in that room, Lord. We just ask right now, God, that you would walk in that room and everything would change, God. That nothing would remain the same, Lord. That there would be, Lord, just an awakening that would come to your daughter right now. Strength would flow through her body. Lord, that things would come alive, Lord, that have been dormant, Lord. Nerve cells, God. Tissue, Lord. Organs, God, would be revived in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, that you're the one that changes our circumstances. You're the one that turns things around, no matter what they look like, God. And your perfect will is being fulfilled right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Come on, well, last time, let's just sing that. We love you, Jesus.
We love you. We will never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. We can't get enough, and all this is for you, Jesus. Oh yes, Jesus.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for the breath of life, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for the breath of life, God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for the breath of life, Lord. Oh, let the breath of life be blown in this place, Jesus. Breath of life, Holy Spirit. Sing, He is holy.
holy is the King of creation. Holy is the Lord of salvation. He is alive and throughout the ages. He has proven that he never changes. Holy is the Lord, and holy is the
Let's just one last time, let's just sing that. You are holy, you are mighty.
For you are holy, you are mighty, you are stronger, Lord, you are great. And in your presence, we surrender. To your power here in this place, yeah. You are holy, you are mighty, you are stronger, Lord, you are great. For in your presence we surrender.
I'll never know how
You're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Come on, church, let's just press into the Lord. God, we press into your presence, Father. God, we press into your glory, Father. God, we pray right now that the glory of God would just settle upon us. God, we pray that the glory of God would just settle upon us, Jesus. God, let the weight of your glory, God, let the weight of your presence, God, just bring strength. God, bring new strength, Father God. God, let the weight of your presence bring new courage, God. God, bring new faith, God, fresh faith, God. Bring new hope, Father God. Let your presence, God, the weighty presence of God, just fall upon this room, Jesus. God, for those that have felt weak in their body, God, that those that have felt weak in their faith, God, where they have questioned God and they have thought, you know, God, where are you? God, where? God, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and where are you? God, I just pray right now, God, a new spirit of courage, a new spirit of faith would begin to rise up, God, right now within them, Lord. God, you have not called us to quit the race, but God, you called us to run the race. God, you said run the good race, God. God, we run this race with courage. God, we run this race with faith, God. We run this race with your strength, not our strength, God. God, your word says that in our weakness, you are made strong. And God, I just feel like sometimes, God, you want us to become weak. God, you're waiting for us to find complete weakness in ourselves, that, God, that you can be glorified. That, God, your strength can come in. God, and right now, we just thank you right now that that presence, that spirit, that weightiness of heaven right now is beginning to fall in this room, Jesus. God, I thank you, Jesus, that you take all of our fears and you replace them with your peace, God. God, you take all of our fears, God, and you replace them with your peace, your perfect peace. God, and it doesn't make sense, God, to the natural man. It doesn't make sense to the world. But God, in your kingdom, it makes complete sense. Lord, and I just pray right now that you would, Lord, you would remove all fleshly thinking out of our hearts. God, that you would remove all fleshly thoughts, God, all things, Jesus, where, God, we're blinded by our own understanding. We're blinded by our own ways, Lord Jesus. I just pray right now, Father God, that you would remove those blinders. God, that you would remove, God, the old man. And Holy Spirit, right now, that the glory of God right now would just completely take hold and take place, God. take place right now, Jesus. Church, let's just lift up our hands right now to the Lord. God, we come before you. We surrender our hearts. We surrender our minds, God. We surrender everything to you, God. We surrender this morning. We surrender right now. We surrender the rest of today. We surrender everything to you, God. And we ask, God, right now for a complete and filling of your presence. A complete and filling, God, like an infusion, God, of your glory, Jesus, right now, Father God. God, this is what we desire this morning. God, this is what we desire this morning, Jesus. We desire you, Jesus. We desire you, Jesus. We desire you, Father God. Lord, fill this place. Fill this place. Fill this place. Fill this place. Come on, church, lift up your voices. Lift up your praises. Lift up your worship to the Lord. Come on, lift it up. Lift him up this morning. God is going to do a work in this place this morning. Come on, he's bringing supernatural joy. He's bringing supernatural strength. He's bringing supernatural endurance to your life, to your faith. Come on, to your marriage, to your children, to your spouse. Come on. God, we worship you. We thank you, Father God. You're not done yet, God. You're not done yet, Lord. The work is not yet finished. God, the work is not yet complete. God, you're not finished with us yet, Father God. Lord, we receive, God, your grace and your mercy. We receive your glory, God. We receive your power. We receive your love, God. We receive it now, Lord. Worthy is the Lord. Worthy is the Lord. Worthy is the Lord. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, God, as we lift up our voices, God, we pray new strength, God, new anointing over our voices. As we lift up our hands, God, Lord, we pray new anointing over our hands, God. Lord, new anointing, God, over our feet, God, wherever we go, God. The glory, the presence of God will go. Oh, yes, 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 the Lord. Oh, Rabasaya Baso Yakan. We worship you, Jesus. Come on, just receive it now. Just receive it now, God. We receive it, God. We receive it, God. We receive it, Jesus. We receive it, God. We receive it now, Jesus. Yes, yes, God. We receive it, Jesus. We receive it now. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. Yes, God. Can we just for a moment, church, the person next to you, or if you have a lot of people in your row or whatever the case is, find someone right now and grab their hand. The Bible says if two or more are gathered in his name, that he is in our midst. And there's a lot more than two people in here. Amen. We're going to just pray right now. We're going to just come before God, and we're going to use the gift of the Spirit. And we're going to just begin to flood this place, and we're going to just begin to encourage one another in the Lord. You know, when David was surrounded, he was completely surrounded. And what did he do? He said he encouraged himself in the Lord. And this morning, we're going to join hands, we're going to join forces, and we are going to lift each other up. And we're going to just pray new strength. As you're praying for the person next to you, I believe this. As you're praying for healing, you're praying for restoration for that person, whatever you're praying for them for, what God is doing through in them, God is going to do for you. And so if you need healing in your body, if you need God to restore you, once you begin to pray, God, restore this person, God, heal this person, God is going to do in you what you're praying for them. And Father God, right now, we just thank you, Father, as a church body. We join together. We join together, Father God, and we pray for one another, Lord. God, we are all pastors. We're all teachers, God. We're all prophets. We're all evangelists in this place right now. And we just begin to declare the word of the God, of the Lord over one another, Lord. We begin to declare new strength. Holy God, new joy right now is flowing. God is flowing through every aisle, God. Lord, the Holy Spirit is beginning to flow, Jesus. Oh, yes, 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 oh Lord. Yes, Jesus, I pray for Pastor Gay, God. I pray for Steve, and I pray for Brian, Lord. Lord, Jesus, fill them with a new joy, God. Fill them with new strength, God. Lord, I pray right now that you would just release your glory over them, Lord. Release your glory over them, Jesus, right now, Father God. Release your power, God. Release Yes, God. Yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, right now, Father God, release it now, Jesus. Yes, Jesus, right now, God. God, I pray for fresh vision, Jesus.
Got a picture of man, and he had gotten so attached to the things in his life, his job, his family, his pride, his status, and he placed those things up around him like pillars, and he placed them really close so that all he saw was the things that he wanted to see around him. And all of a sudden, something happened to one of those pillars. He lost his job. Or, you know, pride went before him and he fell into sin. And as these pillars began to fall down that he had placed around his life, he began to see what he really needed. And he needed Jesus really, really bad. And that's what we need to do, you guys, is to take those pillars, almost like the walls of Jericho, walk around them, let them go down into the ground so that it's Jesus is all we need. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't he all we need? There's lots of other things that we think that we need to try to grasp hold of and hold tight. But it seems like the harder we hold on to things, the tighter we try to grip, the easier it is to slip out of our grasp. Well, just take a moment, greet someone. God bless you all. Praise the Lord. Well, for about the last 3 months, Brian's been saying, it's going to be a little bit longer, and I have my last Sunday here. And I said, okay, well, make sure you remind me the week before and that week. And last week he told me that this week it was going to be his last Sunday. He's moving to Portland. And Spokane. Yeah, boy, unless that's a different place you're supposed to go. No, he's moving to Spokane, and I guess the Lord's really blessed him about this. So, do you want to go ahead and share what the Lord has done?
Oh, you betcha. I tell you right now that if nothing that I've done in the last few months or a few weeks, I did alone. God was the only one that had the power and the direction to lead throughout all this. Amen. I mean, just 2 weeks ago, I didn't even have a house to move to. Just 2 weeks ago. And my landlord says, I got to get out by the May 31st, which is coming up here. Yeah, next month. Right?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, she also asked me if I couldn't leave a couple of weeks beforehand. And here I am looking all the way around. And I says, God, I don't know what's going on. I don't want this pressure. I don't want anything to make me go crazy. I need your help. And right after I prayed, I went on, it's called Hot Pads. It's to show all the rentals and stuff. Only one house popped up. And I've already went to Spokane once. And there was no other houses to look for. So I went down there to check it out. I've called the real estate broker. He says, come on down and take a look at it. And as I was coming down there, I got excited. It was like a power surging through me that I've never, it was driving me crazy. It was making me leap for joy. I says, this is your will done, not mine this time, Father. I know it is. And I went down there, and he showed me the house, and I looked around, and I was just in awe of everything that I seen. And he asked me, how long have I lived at the last place? Well, anyway, long story short, he shook my hand and says, welcome.
Praise the Lord.
And just at that day, and I just praise the Lord. I've been packing like crazy. I ended up with two people just knocking on my door for something that I didn't remember about. And they ended up helping me pack everything for the last week and a half. I am going to only God could open this up. He has made it a window so that I can become a mechanical designer in Spokane. And it's a 2-year program. And God has just been blessing me right and left on this. He's opened up every step. And only my faith in him leadeth me out of all temptations and right straight dab into where he wants me to be. So this is a new journey for me.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. So would you stretch forth your hand? We're going to pray for Brian and just believe that the Lord would just let him find a household of faith there that he can be plugged into, that will feed his spirit and continue to help him grow into who God's called him to be. Father, we thank you for Brian, Lord. I thank you for his tender heart, Lord, and his childlike faith, God, of trusting you. And Lord, we pray, God, that you would just, as you've led him, Lord, to now a house, Lord, we pray that you'd lead him to a house of faith, God, a family of faith, Lord, where he can be plugged in, Lord, where he can be an encouragement to others and others encourage him. We just ask, Lord, that you would just let your anointing rest upon him. Things that he's learned here, how to move in your spirit, how to walk in a deeper way, Lord, that you would let him just be contagious with others, Lord, of that joy and that love and that fresh relationship that he has with you. We thank you for his life. Thank you, Lord, for his faithfulness. And we just ask, Lord, that you just continue to provide everything he needs, Lord, because you are his provider, as he has so eloquently said. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. All right, would the children please come up? Hallelujah. What a great group. Did you guys know you're a great group? If you say so. Here we go. Stretch forth your hands. Lord, we just pray right now, God, a blessing, God, over your children, Lord. We pray today that they would hear your voice, Lord. They'd hear your word, God, and that they would be, Lord, drawn to a close relationship with you. We just ask, Lord, that you would just bless their day. God, let them receive, Lord, in such a way, God, that it will even produce fruit in their lives that will remain. Help them, Lord, to be activated in their faith in these days, Lord, to be the children of God now that you've called them to be. We just thank you for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord. How's everyone doing? Good? Good. Well, I have had so much on my heart lately. I don't even know really even how to even try to communicate a lot of the things that are burning inside of me. And it seems like I just get just an opportunity just to give a glimpse. I personally am going through a transformation. And, you know, I believe that we're to change from glory to glory, but just about all of the things that I thought I had all figured out, all stacked into neat order and placement and all the nooks and crannies of my life, you know, were seemed to be like where everything needed to be. God said, well, here, let me just tell you, this doesn't go here. And you built like probably 30% of your life around that part. Let me just move it where it needs to go. And, of course, everything else that was structured around that kind of crumbled. Now, some would say, well, God doesn't tear things up. Well, if you've been building on the wrong foundation and your heart is hungry to know the truth, he will tear things up. And you know what? I would rather have him tear things up that are built wrong than for me to continue to build this structure that is based on things that aren't going to last. Because when it all boils down to it, Wood, hay, and stubble isn't going to last in the presence of the fire of God. And it's going to take the pure, precious jewels, stones, whatever you want to call it, minerals of faith that are going to be able to stand the fire. And so that is what I want. That's what I desire. And so with that happening, my doctrine, so to speak, continues to be challenged. And so doing, it has opened me up to, you know, as many of us have experienced over the past couple of years, a closer, intimate relationship with Him, that we are children of God, that we're not orphans, that this is not an orphanage. I was talking to somebody the other day. I remember that basically when I was in a position of where I was trying to make the Father happy with me so that I could receive His love, receive His approval, that I wasn't understanding that was an orphaned mentality. A mentality that I had to try to, you know, receive some kind of approval by God or some kind of, even receive His love was based on what I did. And as we have learned that it's not about what I do, it's not about my own actions, it's not about, you know, my own abilities, even though we know that we want to live a righteous life and a holy life to please Him, but we're not doing that to receive His love. And we're not doing that to receive His approval. We are approved. We're accepted in as a beloved child of God, and even more so, a bride. We're spotless brides. We've heard that before. So with that said, I can see how years ago when we would gather in church, it was like orphans gathering together and celebrating our orphanship, and that we're trying to reach God somehow, some way. We're trying to, you know, pull ourselves up to Him or pull Him down, and not realizing that He's just inside of us and that He lives in us. I mean, you know, how often or how early in our faith is it that, well, where's Jesus at? He's in my heart, you know, and we get that. You know, we get the idea that Jesus lives and abides and dwells in us by the Holy Spirit, but I don't think we let that resonate, you know, in other words, echo in our hearts in such a way that we are able to live that out in the way that I believe God wants us to live that out. That if He lives in us and we live in Him, then who are we? I mean, you could say, well, you know, you're, you know, flesh and blood, and you could look at the natural and say that, but let's go beyond that. This is temporal right here. This existence right now in on the earth is temporal, but there's something beyond what we see, and that's the eternal residency of Christ. And that is what's real about me. Even though every time I interact with people, it seems like, you know, my temperament comes up and things that I've known before in the past, my experiences come out. But that's not who I am, and that's not who you are. And so today I want to challenge again a little bit our thinking, or maybe just encourage the way that you're already thinking. Maybe some of you are listening to me and say, Pastor, boy, you've got it. You're really all messed up because I know all this stuff. Well, if you do, then just praise God with me and encourage me along the way as I go on this journey of being reprogrammed, my mind being renewed. But I'm going to go ahead and start with, hang on here a second, Ephesians. Ephesians is in the New Testament. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. Title of this, I don't give titles very often, it's called Seated in Heaven. Seated in Heaven. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. Let's see. I don't like starting with, this is one of those. Yeah, we're just going to have to just start with that, because otherwise I'm going to go all the way back to verse 1, because it's one of those continuous almost sentences that Paul writes. And so, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places,
far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, many of you probably have read this before and can say amen to it, that Jesus has been raised from the dead and that he has literally been seated at the right hand of the Father on high, and that he's in heaven, or some of your Bibles say heavenly places. That word places is in asterisks, which or in italics, which means it's added so that you get the meaning. But he's seated in heaven at the right hand of the Father, and he's far above, how many of you know, he's far above all principalities, all powers, all might and dominion. Everyone can say amen about that, about Jesus, right? That he is above everything, that everything is below him, and that every name that is named, that's any name you want to put in there, is actually under him. So you want to name something, you know, you want to name addictions, that's under him. You want to name sickness and diseases, you name any one of them, that's under him. You want to name a demonic force, you know, like pornography? You want to name a demonic force, like, you know, homosexuality? You could, any kind of these spirits that are out there, they're under him. They are under him, under his feet, and there's none that are, can even be compared to any of his power. Is that correct? Everybody says amen. Jesus is seated in heavenly places. Okay. Boy, I'm getting nobody to say, wait a minute, Pastor. And it says, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. So it's not only in this timeline. This age would be the age, I believe, that we're in, even though it's been going on for like 2,000 years. It's an age of Jesus Christ's work of the cross that mankind gets to receive all the benefits of what he accomplished on the cross. And that includes our sins being forgiven, our sins being are wiped clean by his blood, us being restored to relationship with the Father, and us being able to now live in Christ in the power of his resurrection power. Amen, which is his body. Oh, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. He gave what? He gave the power that he had, all things to him. And that was him head over the church, and which is his body, the fullness of him who fits all in all. So he's head over all things, and he has now been put head over the church, and we are his body who fills all in all, or he fills all in all, correct? Everybody can agree with that. Okay. Now let's go ahead and turn just a little bit down, or some of you might even be on the same page, to Ephesians 2, and we'll start in verse 4. Ephesians 2, verse 4, so only about, you know, 8, 10 verses down, depending upon 8 or 10 verses. No, maybe not that many. 4 verses, 5 verses. Okay, but God, who is rich in mercy, because he of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Then it says in parentheses in my Bible, by grace you have been saved. Now listen to this. And raised us up. So who's this us he's talking about? We's. We's right here. We raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Even when we were dead in trespasses, this is interesting. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So even when you were still in your trespasses, dead, you got to get this, you were made alive in Christ. So when did that manifest? When you received Christ. But you were made alive already. See, I've always looked at my Christianity that there was a point where, you know, I was, I guess for lack of a better term, you know, just outside of God completely. I didn't know God. I was doing everything against God's ways, and I was just a sinner. And, you know, in my mind, I thought, oh, I'm probably going to go to hell, you know. I was kind of in the back of my mind, well, I'm kind of a good person. I don't really, you know, do this, 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 and this, so maybe I'll get a pass, you know. And even though I really didn't understand Jesus Christ, and, you know, I thought he was a myth, you know, I thought it was Greek mythology. I mean, I really did. When people would talk to me about him, I thought, well, they're just talking about another, you know, Greek mythology god or something. It never, the eyes of my understanding were blocked. But today I realize that even in that state, I was raised with Christ. Now, some of you may say, well, Pastor, that can't be because you were a sinner. But you don't understand that in God, even though I hadn't said, yes, Lord, I'd already been raised with Christ. I know I'm challenging some of you, but listen to what the word says. You see, sometimes we read it and we don't listen to what it says. Even when we were dead in trespasses. Even when we were dead in trespasses. What does that say to you, Jesse? Sounds like when we were still dead in our sins. In that state, he has made us alive together with Christ. See, like I told you, I had these little blocks, and it was all really good because I had my thinking all down, I had my theology all down, and everything was all good. And God said, no, 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 this right here doesn't go there. It goes over here. And crumbled. And now when I read the word, I have to go, okay, I've read that so many times. Why didn't I just see that? Because when you build something and it all looks good, you can't receive something that doesn't fit. You can't put it in the right place if you've got something already there. Now listen, if he raised us up before we were even saved, how much more we raise now? Come on, think about this. See, in God, there is no time. There is no time. Now you say, well, but we're in time and he's in us. Yeah, he's in us, but he's outside of time. Now, folks, I'm going to drag you along a little bit here, and I like to do this lately, but I'm going to say this. If you're in God, then where are you in time? Ah, eternity. Now someone say, well, Pastor Mike, we're not there yet. We haven't fully seen this where we're outside of time. We're with him in eternity. Ah, but you're talking in our realm now. See, that would have been like me saying, when I was dead in sins, I was dead in sins. No, 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 no. I'm learning, even though I was dead in sins, I was already made alive together in Christ because there was no time in God. Christ slain from the foundation of the world, the earth, the very beginnings of anything, he was already slain for all of us. So I'm here to tell you that your neighbor, who may look like the greatest heathen in the world, has been made alive in Christ. Some of you say, what? Yes. All he has to do is receive that life that's waiting for him. So So he has raised us up together. Now let me just tell you about this raised up. This, oh, Jesse's sending me in. What? Missed the we? I can't go there now. He's like, wants me to read something. If you want to come up here and share, he's like, no, I'm behind the soundboard. No, you're not. You're off to the side. I keep threatening him because he'll come up with stuff afterwards. And say, why didn't you say that? But why we? See, I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, okay. You forget that we're right in the middle of technology and it just comes right there. Okay, sorry for those who are listening on the internet. That was my bad. The sound man's my bad. One more time. And raised us up together. Raised us up together. Now, I've read this before and I've always thought, well, raised us up together as the church raised us up together. But really what this us is being added, you can say, and raised up together and made sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What I really believe is saying is that it has raised us, meaning you, me, I, individually. For so long, we have made this whole walk about us as a body. And yes, we are a body, but we are also individuals. We are also individual sons and daughters, individual intimate people with God. And he has raised us up and made us sit where? In Christ. So if he's raised us up, that means made us come up, raised us up. I always thought this meant raised us up from our dead and our trespasses, and I was able to now walk this life, you know, in resurrection power. And there's truth to that, but you miss the depth of what's really going on here, because in Christ, we are seated next to God the Father. We are. Well, some would say, well, okay, I can wrap my mind around that. Well, don't do that. Don't wrap your mind around that. Don't say, yes, I'm in Christ, Christ's in me, and so if he's there, I'm seated there with him. And we do that all the time. We can basically say, okay, I can receive that, and we get it to where our mind can understand it so we can receive it. But don't do that. Receive this with your heart. Receive this with the part of you that maybe doesn't necessarily make sense. You have been taken out of a place, and this is when we were dead in our trespasses, taken out of a place of total loss, total abandoned, by God, no hope, and you were made to sit next in Christ, next to God. Now, what I'm trying to get you to understand is that you've been placed in a place of authority. Did we not read just a few verses up? It says, far above all principality and power, might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. So in other words, in Christ, which we are in Christ, he is in us, all principality, all dominions, all everything that is named in this age and the age to come is placed under us as well. Now see, that's where people start going, well, Pastor Mike, you can't say that. You don't see the things that I'm dealing with. You don't see the way that the enemy seems to throw me around sometimes. Well, there's the key. You're saying you don't see, because you're talking about things that you're looking at in the natural. You're talking about things that now are in this timeline that are now you're focused on, and you are now, because of what you see, denying or not giving the full attention that being seated in heavenly places represents. Is this making sense? In other words, you are in a place in Christ. I wish I could like just have this all of a sudden manifest in heaven and God reveals really what's going on, because we'd be changed. But we in Christ, we are seated with him. And it doesn't matter what our life looks like at this point. You are seated with him. Now get this, when we start realizing we're seated with him, then those principalities, those powers, those things present, those things to come, have no weight. As a matter of fact, they're under our authority. You know, there's a story of Paul, and he was walking back and forth while ministering, and it sounds like for many days, this woman kept saying, you know, these are servants of the God Most High. And she was like a person who would do like palm reading or something like that. She would tell people's futures, and she's being used by men to get money with these powers. And Paul just turned around one day. He says he got tired of her. He just got tired of her. It wasn't that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the Holy Spirit, you're like, oh, you got to do something. No, he just got tired of her badgering them all the time. And he just turned, he says, get out of her. And the thing left. And the men who were making money on her, oh, what are you going to do? We just lost our livelihood. And they got a little upset with Paul, and it created some havoc. But the thing is that Paul exercised what? I'm seated in heavenly places. He didn't think that. He knew that. And he turned, get out of her. And it was gone. And he wasn't trying to impress people. See, so many times, for years, I wanted to have some kind of ministry that was showy. I'm just being truthful and honest here. Because, you know, it's like cool, you know. You know, you lay hands on the sick and they recover. It's like, cool, you know. And it's like, you know, people say, hey, he's cool, you know. Like, I'm just saying there was a wrong motivation there, that I wanted it so that people could, you know, adore me. Oh, isn't he something? And I had to come to the place where it really does not matter if I'm acknowledged, because it's about him. And I believe as we get to the place more and more where if it has nothing to do with us, the more we'll be laying hands on the sick and they'll recover, because he's going to get the glory. See, no man is supposed to share God's glory by taking it. He freely gives it. See, that's the thing. When we try to take the glory, when we try to trade for it, when we try to say, oh, let me do this so that others will look at me, then that glory is short-lived. But when we empty ourselves and say, you know what, I just want to be your child and just use me however you want, Lord, and I just want to bring you glory in everything that I say and do. And then you do something, you know, and whoa, that's cool. That's amazing. So, oh, man, that's the Lord. It's God. It's like, don't look at me. I mean, it's like when you do that, all of a sudden more starts filling in you. But why is this happening? Because we're seated in heavenly places. We are in places of authority. And I'm telling you, this is the age where the sons and daughters of God start knowing who they are. Start knowing who they are and do those mighty exploits. And you fill in the blank, whatever a mighty exploit will be. For some, it may be raising the dead. For others, it may be going to someone who speaks a foreign language, and you go by faith and you speak the foreign language to them and win them to Christ. That's pretty mighty. It may be that you have someone on your heart that the Lord puts on your heart, and you go to bed and you have a dream about them, and you end up going to them in your dream and sharing Christ with them in your dream. And they see you in their dream and they receive Christ. See, the thing is that we can't limit the power of God based on what we have known before. Thinking that you have to get on a plane to go across the country to go talk to somebody for them to be affected by Christ or for them to hear the good news, you know, we have to realize that we're not bound by this dimension anymore. But it's hard to get past that because we've been in this realm for so long. And as the Holy Spirit's saying, you know what? I'm taking the blinders off. I'm opening up my word to you. You know, I mean, like, you know, dead in our trespasses, at the same time made alive together in Christ. That's a God where he's talking about, you know, even though you were already made alive. So I'm trying to communicate to us today. And hopefully doing it well. Sometimes it's not always that well. Let's go to Colossians 2:11. Let's let the word continue to speak. Sometimes I fail in trying to say what is here. Colossians 2:11. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Having wiped out the handwriting requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. But you, being dead in your trespasses, have been made alive together with him. We are alive in Christ. And we're not just alive in him to the place where we're now no longer in sin. We're alive in him to the place of where he is, we are now. Even though we can't see that, there's a part of us, our spiritual part, that is in heaven, in authority with Christ, already ruling. Now some would say, well, if he's up there and we're there with him, then why do things look like such a mess here? Right? Why does everything look like it's upside down when you're describing it should all be right side up? It's because that we don't walk in that knowledge of where we're sitting. See, if we get to the place of where we know beyond a shadow of a doubt who we are, where we are, the authority that we have, the life that we have, then we will not continue to live the life that we have here. It will cease to exist. So what does that mean? That means that the enemy will have nothing in us because he has nothing in Christ. And so I've said that before. Well, you know, the enemy doesn't have anything in me because I'm in Christ. But I was just saying that because the Bible said it, not because I knew it. Even as I'm describing it to you, I don't walk in it like I want to walk in it. I want to walk in it in the way that Jesus walked in it when he was here on the earth, because he is our prime example. He was in heaven with the Father while he was here. You can read that in your Bible. It says, okay, I can see some of you saying, what? He was here. He wasn't in heaven. Okay. And there's more verses I could give you, but this is a good one. John 3. Let's see. Hang on. Right here. He's telling Nicodemus, he says, if I told you earthly things and you do not believe them, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. That is John 3, 11 and 12 and 13. One more. Since you want proof. This is in John chapter 1. Here it is. It says, John bore witness of him, this is verse 15, and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the present tense, in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So even while Jesus was on the earth, he was in the bosom of the Father. Even while he was mingling with all his disciples and doing all the miracles, he was in heaven. So guess what? He is our example. And what he did is he made it so that when he said, Father, it is finished, when he took that punishment and paid our penalty with his body being a curse on the cross for you and I, he then made a way so that we could be here on earth and in heaven at the same time. That when we say, I do, because see, that's what we really do. We really say, I do. We really kind of say marriage vows when we receive Christ. I do take you. You say you want me. I don't know why you want me, but I do receive you. Do you see? And you don't have a bunch of vows that you say. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you ask for forgiveness for, you know, for weeks, you know, because you've done so much stuff. But you say, I do. And then you start to walk with him as a bride here, now. Men, your brides. Women, your sons. Go figure that out. And God's not schizophrenic. He's not. We are the bride of Christ, all male and female. And we are the sons of God, all male and female. And what that means is that even though we're children of God, we're also a bride of God. Some people say, well, how can you be both? I don't know. I mean, I would have to maybe figure it out on paper. But in God, we are a prized, treasured possession. And so prized and treasured that he has now seated us at his right hand. And he has given us all the same authority and power that Jesus Christ has. Now, I pray that we receive this so that when more of our loved ones fall sick and it looks like there's no hope, we remember who we are. We have God, you know, say, son, remember who you are. Don't bow to this. Don't let this authority that's already under your feet, even though it doesn't look like it, look like it's having the victory, because it doesn't get the victory. And some would say, well, what if we lose them? What if, well, if they're in Christ, you're not losing them. See, that's another thing that we say, oh, well, they're lost. No, they're not lost. Even though they're not here, you're closer than you know. And the more that you focus on the separation, the less you receive the closeness that's there. I know I'm talking about concepts that are hard for us to understand, but Holy Spirit will help us. Because I believe we're to get them in these days. These are not just normal Christian days to live anymore. These are days to take the full armor of God and wear it. And not in some kind of, you know, spiritual, you know, tradition, but to truly be clothed in all those things that represent that armor. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, truth girding our loins, our feet shed with the gospel of peace, the preparation of the gospel of peace, shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. And I know, you know, we've thought about those for years, but all of those are not just, you know, keys to try to live by. They're who we are. They're literally who we are. So many of us are trying to get to a place where we already are. It's like we're trying to get to God somehow in heaven. We're already there. It's like there's this big poster on the back of the room. I wanted to do this, but, you know, and it says, one in God, one in Christ. And we try to do everything in our strength to get to that achievement, you know, and we'll jump over hurdles and crawl on our bellies. And, I mean, we'll do whatever we can to get to that. And you know, there's nothing wrong with diligence and perseverance and standing. But when you're trying to get to some place you're already at, then what's happening? Then what you're doing is you're not receiving where you're already at. Because if you think you have to do something to get to some place where you're already at, you're never going to receive that you're already there. Do you see what I mean? If you're trying to do things here on earth so that you can be seated next to God in heaven, in that authority, you're trying to, in your own strength, so to speak, make it so that you have the right to sit next to God. Even though everybody says, that's so crazy, sitting right next to God. He did it for us. I didn't. Right? He accomplished it for us. And he is not, you know, threatened by giving out the authority, because he knows if we're in Christ and living in Christ, that we'll use the authority right. We won't just go around and start, you know, turning people to little midgets or something like that. Little tiny people, like, what's that? I can't remember. Disney, the little guy. Huh? The what? Oompa Loompas? No, that's not it. Darby O'Gill, that's it. Yeah, little people. There we go. Huh? There you go. We're not going to start turning people, you know, into, you know, frogs and stuff like that with the power. We're going to use the authority. Yeah, can you imagine? What happened? He turned me into a frog. It's like, well, repent, you know. It's like, very weird picture there, yeah. But we're not going to use the power and the authority that God's given us wrong, because we're going to come in humility and trust and full assurance that we're going to follow him. And I believe he's taken away our pride. I know for me, as he's taken away my desire for earthly gain. All this stuff that I'm telling you about is so that we can be who we're supposed to be, so he can be glorified. And so that the creation can quit moaning and groaning, because the sons of God come into their inheritance, come into the place that they're called to be. Oh, boy. Okay. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that your word is true and your word is alive. And, Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us to receive the truth, Lord, of who we are, that we're not just mere human beings living on this earth, trying to get by, just trying to find our way, but, Lord, that we are sons and children of God, Lord, and that we have a divine call in this day, that you are calling us to a place, Lord, that is of authority and is of rulership, Lord, and not in a way, Lord, that makes people subject to us, Lord, but in a way that we become servant of all. Lord, in a way that we lay down our life, Lord, for our friends, Lord. In a way, Lord, that we bring others, Lord, to you, Lord, and you help transform them, Lord, as we share the faith, God. We pray right now, Lord, that you would just cause our hearts to just realize that we're seated in heavenly places, right next to you, right now. Lord, I pray right now that you just open up our eyes, our spiritual eyes, Lord, to see, Lord, the authority that we carry in Christ. And Lord, that we would use that for your glory, that you would manifest your presence in our lives, Lord, in such a way, Lord, that we know, God, the power of your resurrection, and know, Lord, the fellowship of your suffering, and grow, Lord, in a grace and a knowledge of you, Lord, that transforms us, but also transforms our families, our workplaces, Lord, those that know us. We just thank you, Lord, that you're alive and well, and you're doing mighty works, Lord, in your people, in our hearts, in these days. In Jesus' mighty name, Amen. All right, praise the Lord.